a little passage of scripture in the book of Ephesians. We're going to go through Ephesians 22, and I don't know if we'll get through all of it. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22, and it takes us all the way down to verse 9, but I'm not going to read all that tonight because I know I'm not going to get through all those verses. But it's just simply walking together walking together in wisdom as families, walking together as families in wisdom. And because, you know, right now our churches, our families, more than the churches, the family's under attack, folks. And God has a certain way that he's ordained families to walk together in godly wisdom. And it's important that we understand how this works. So if you would, please, when you find your place, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. I'm just going to read verses 22 down to verse 33. Verses 22 through verse 33, just the latter part of chapter 5 of Ephesians. It says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your holy word. And Father, may we tonight, as we look into the word of God, may we see how families are supposed to walk together in wisdom, Father. There is a certain way, a certain ordination, Father, that you've put families together with, Father, based on your holy word and the way that you want to see things done. So help us, Father, as we look into this tonight, to gain wisdom, to gain discernment. And Father, just teach us all, Father, in our appointed task that you've given us, the places that you placed us, Lord, may we walk worthy, Father, of the calling or that you've given us, Father. So open our understanding to your word, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, this is a passage of scripture that the world today hates. They do not want to live up to what the Bible teaches when it comes to families. And there is a certain way that God ordained families to be when they come together. And I know we live in a day and age when, quote, women's liberation is such a big thing. And honestly, if you look, when you were driving up and down the roads looking for certain signs on who's running for what department, you'll notice that there are probably more women in politics than there are men. And that's I don't know. I don't agree with it. I don't agree with it. There needs to be more men in politics, because there's a reason behind that. And I'm not going to stand up here today, and I'm not going to browbeat any wife or mother, because that's not what God means this to be. When I married my wife, I made a promise to her, my father-in-law, before he told me that I could marry her. And he told me, he said, "You take care of her." And I made him a promise. And if I have let him down in any way, shape, or form, and I don't believe that I have, but if I have, I'm sure she'd have took a board to my head. And that's okay. You know, it's okay. If I mistreat my wife in any way, I'd hope that she'd take a gun and just shoot me. She doesn't deserve that. She deserves much better than that, because she's my wife. And you know, when God took the rib from Adam, where did he take it from? He took it from the side. He didn't take a backbone where my wife has to stay behind me. So wives, I want to encourage you. Those of you who are wives, I know some of you are widows. We have a ton of widows in our church. And I pray for you guys every day, or you ladies. I hate to say guys. Every time you go out to eat somewhere, the waitress will come by and say, "You guys need anything?" One of these days, I'm going to say, "My wife is not a guy. She's a lady." Just say, "Do you all need something?" But anyway, Those first few verses there, walking together in godly wisdom. Well, so far, before we get into this, I want us to understand where we've been so far when we've talked about walking in wisdom. So the first thing we talked about when we got into to walking the way we should as Christians, because there's so much information in the book of Ephesians where God tells us how to walk in unity. And that's talking about the church. That was found in Ephesians 4, 1 through 16. And in Ephesians 4, 17 through 32, we talked about walking in truth and holiness. We have a responsibility as Christians to walk in truth with one another, with God. You can't hide anything from God. No matter what you try to do, you can't hide it. And he wants us to walk in holiness, walk in love, walking as light, and walking as wise. We finished that up last week. It might appear here that when Paul was writing this, that he kind of took an abrupt change in the direction that he was headed, because he's been talking to the church all along. But you see what I'm talking, where I'm getting at? Paul said, just all of a sudden, out of the blue, after he got done talking to the church about walking in unity, walking in truth and holiness, walking in light, and walking as wise, and walking in love, now all of a sudden he's talking about families. Paul begins to describe how various family members are to conduct themselves. And there's each one of us, as a husband, as a wife, as a child, we've all got certain responsibilities that are God-given. It's certain workmanship that God's given us, whether you're male or female, and there's no such thing as a male-female. There's no such thing as a transgender person. You are what you were born to be. So, and it's not, when God talks about this in his word, he doesn't say husband, husband, or wife, wife. He says husband and wife, wife and husband. He doesn't say anything about a man and a man and a woman and a woman. So contrary to what the world is trying to teach out there, that's wrong. It's ungodly. It's against nature itself. But there are certain responsibilities that we're going to look at about with the wives, and that's found in Ephesians 5, 22 through 24. And husbands, we're not going to forget about us as well, because we've got a huge responsibility as well, and we've got to live up to that responsibility. So we're going to talk about the responsibility of the husband, and we'll also cover the responsibility of the children. Children have a responsibility to be obedient to their parents, no matter how old your parents are. If you're here tonight and you have a parent that's alive, you've got a responsibility to be obedient to them to a certain degree, as unto the Lord, just like it talks about the wife, as unto the Lord. There's subjection there. And that word subjection, gentlemen, doesn't mean to go around using your wife as a rug. You love her. You cherish her. You honor her. You put her first in everything. God gave me my wife before he gave me a pastorate. My wife comes first. The first thing that God ever ordained on this in this earth, it wasn't the church, folks. He ordained the marriage, the family, the unity between a husband and a wife. And any man that would browbeat his wife or mistreat his wife, he ought to be horsewhipped. He ought to be horsewhipped. There's no sense in that. Absolutely no sense in a man treating a woman the way that I've heard that some men have treated their wives. But then it goes on about the responsibilities of the father as well, because you don't see it here where it gives the responsibility of the mother, unless you go all the way back to Proverbs 31, where it talks about the woman there in Proverbs 31. But here Paul he's given a bigger responsibility to the fathers. We live in a day and age, folks, where children are without fathers. And what a shame that is. We got young men growing up in this world without a masculine, somebody to look up that's masculine. And a lot of our men today aren't masculine. They're not. They're feminine. We have a lot of feminine men in this world, and that's disgusting. It ought to make us sick when we see that. But he talks about the responsibilities of these fathers and how they're supposed to treat their children. And then we're going to talk about the responsibilities of the servant. And we'll talk about the responsibilities of masters, because in those days, people had servants. They had slaves. But they didn't misuse their slaves. As we think about slavery, the way we think about slavery today, we think about having them in chains and so on and so forth. But in those days, the servants were more like part of the family. And they were to be treated a certain way. And that's the way God told him to treat them. But the subject matter here is really not so abrupt, if you think about it. It's not as abrupt as you think it may be, where Paul, just in the middle of what he's talking about there with the church, that he just jumps and just changes the subject altogether. But because Paul mentioned earlier, he mentions earlier, he's talking about the church, and he makes known the manifold wisdom of God there in chapter 3, verses 9 through 10. And he's talking about that, and then he goes down in chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. He's talking about wisdom, and it's all to do with the church. So how can it be that Paul all of a sudden just changes over to talking about the family? Well, I'm glad you asked me that. It's through the family, folks. It's through the families, our families, that we have such a great potential to demonstrate the wisdom of God in this world. Think about it for a minute. The same principles that underline the gospel message, such as submission, love, and that word submission doesn't mean that a wife has to get down on her knees before her husband while he picks up a stick and beats her. Any man that beats his wife ought to be beaten, plain and simple. Worse than she was. But it talks about submission, about love, sacrifice, obedience, honesty, and fairness. And that's all part of the things that are supposed to be displayed in the church. But it begins in the home. It begins with the family. One of the things that the men have been talking about and praying about is we need some young families in our church. We need husbands and wives in our church that can come in with little children, and I'd love to see our nursery open again, where we have little children back in there that some of you ladies who love babies could go back in there and spoil them rotten and then send them home with their parents, and that's a good thing. and those are the kind of things that the church is all about, the family, folks. It's what it's about. It's about taking care of the widows and those who are poor and in need. We've got a responsibility to make sure that we take care of all those. But setting the proper example as families, and I think that's a lot of what's wrong with our world today as well. There's not a lot of families out there because you got so many single mothers, single fathers who are raising children without the proper instruction. I would not in any way want to raise a little girl by myself. I couldn't do it. They have special needs that I can't give them as a father. And little boys being raised up by just a mother. It don't seem right. And we wonder why these boys, when they grow up, they turn into the sissified men and they want to change their sex, their gender into something that God didn't make them to be. And I think that's a lot of it. They're hungry for leadership, and the leadership that's in the homes out there just doesn't match up to God's plan. So Paul here, he's talking about the families setting the proper example, and as families, we can demonstrate what is the truly good and right or God's will in the church as well, because God ordained the family way before he did the church, folks. He did. I mean, when in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth and so on and so forth there in Genesis. And then when he brought Adam onto the scene, he created Adam after his own image. And then later on, he saw that Adam was lonely. Even though he had God, God said, Adam needs somebody in his life. And what did he need? He needed a wife. He needed a woman in his life that he could love, somebody that would love him in return and be the one that he could protect. You know what? Most men have got a desire to protect their families. But I wonder about in today's world. I really do. There's so many men out there, if somebody would try to break in the house, they'd probably put their wife out in front of them. I mean, and it's a shame. They use their wife as a shield in this world. And that's wrong. I tell my wife very distinctly, I said, if you hear something and I'm asleep, you wake me up. But if I go out to look at it, you stay in the bedroom and lock the door. Don't you come out and follow me. She has a bad habit of wanting to do that, though. She wants to come out and see what's going on. And I tell her, don't follow me out, because I may have to go outside, you know, and I don't want nothing to happen to her. I'd rather somebody shoot me than my wife. Plain and simple. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's the way God meant it to be. But anyway, let's get on with this. So Paul here is not abruptly changing his direction, but he continues to talk about the sort of things that are crucial in having a walk that is worthy of the vocation or the calling wherewith God has called each one of us. God, first of all, called me to be a Christian, number one, when he saved me. All right, but before I even got married to my wife, I was a child. I had a responsibility to be a child to my mom and dad. Plain and simple, which means I had a responsibility to respect my parents and be obedient to my parents. And I'm telling you, when I wasn't obedient, I knew it. Sometimes when I think about some of the things that my dad whipped me for, I still feel the whippings that I got. Because my dad didn't just whip me with his hand. He had a miner's belt he used on my backside, and I'm glad he did sometimes because it made a difference in my life. I wouldn't be the man that I am today if my dad had not taken that strap to my backside. I needed it. I deserved it. I deserved every bit of it because I was a rotten little scoundrel, plain and simple. But anyway, with this, so we got to consider then that how those who walk worthy should conduct themselves in regards to marital responsibilities. So I'm talking to wives and husbands most of all tonight. They are to be subject, it says clearly, the duty of the wife in verses 22 through 24. It says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband, not somebody else's, unto your own husband as what? As unto the Lord. The way that you're subjecting yourself to the Heavenly Father, to the Lord Jesus Christ, is the same way you subject yourself to your husband. And in today's world, I know things are all backwards, folks. It's backwards. It used to be that the man was the breadwinner. But in today's world, sometimes the wife does more than the man does to make a living. Because the men aren't living up to what they're supposed to do, so the wives have to do something. But anyway, why it says, wives, submit yourselves. That word submit, I think later on Paul explains that a little bit better down in verse 33. Jump down to verse 33, where Paul says, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, talking about the husbands, as himself, and the wife see that she, what? Reverence. That word reverence simply means to respect. But I'm telling you, there's a lot of husbands out there. Respect is not something that's demanded. It's something that's earned. Respect is something that has to be earned. Men, you have to earn the respect of your wife. And how do you do that? We'll get into the husbands here in a minute. But he goes on in verse 23, but he says, For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. And the world wants to change that. The world wants to change that. They don't want men being in charge of anything, and that's why we have so many women out there. And I'm not against women at all. Believe me, I'm married to one, and I love my wife with all my heart. And I wouldn't trade her for the whole world, plain and simple. I wouldn't be where I'm at today if it wasn't for my wife. And she has followed me, and I don't know why she ever did it, folks. I don't know why she followed me to a foreign land. When I come home one day and say, honey, I want to be a missionary. Where you want to go? I said, Philippines. Okay. She packed up with me. We sold everything. We sold a house. We sold all of our material possessions. When we left the United States from Parkersburg, Ohio, and flew to the Philippines, what do we have, 9 suitcases? We had 7 suitcases. That's all we had to our name, 7 suitcases. Out of a 2-story house with a full basement, we sold everything. She followed her husband. Thank you. That woman's precious to me. And I have never in my life raised my hand against her, nor would I. And if I did, I'd hope that she would raise a board to my head. But I pray God that I'll be the husband that she needs and deserves to have. Men, know how to treat your wives. Know how to treat your wives. Love your wives. Wives, respect your husbands. Give them the respect that they deserve. Plain and simple. Don't let him treat you like a rug. You're not a rug. None of you ladies are rugs. And if your husband treats you that way, shame on him. Send him to my office. I'll have a talk with him. Because we're not going to put up with that in this church. We want to have that union. Because you think about this, for the husband is head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. We've got a responsibility, men, to take care of the wives. Wives, remember that your husband's goal in life is to do everything he can to please you and to protect you and to lay down his life for you as Christ laid down his life for the church. How many men are willing to do that in today's world? Guarantee you most of them are going to pack their bags and run. That's why marriages don't stay together anymore. That's why there's so much divorces, because people don't want to work things out. We've had our share of troubles, but we always tried to talk them out. We always tried to talk things out. It goes on. I'm not even putting my stuff up here. Marital responsibilities. Because I want us to understand how this works, because it's important. The duties of the wife is to, according to the Word of God, they are to submit to their husbands in everything. According, and it goes on there, don't forget the one part, as unto the Lord. as unto the Lord. The same way that all of us have to submit ourselves to our Heavenly Father, the ladies are expected to do the same thing unto their husbands, just as they are submit unto the Lord, just as a church is subject to Christ. So the reason the husband is head of the wife, just as Christ is head of the church, and anytime you have an organization, there's got to be some kind of functional, orderly organization in any organizations out there. That's why they have what they call chain of commands and certain ways that things are laid out. Even the church itself, the church is laid out in a specific way. You know, somebody's the head of this person's ahead of that person. And a lot of times there's a lot of head butting in churches over that, who's in charge of what. And it's all you got to do is look at the Bible part of that. We're not talking about that tonight. But just as the church is in subjection to the Heavenly Father, then so should the wife be in subjection or have respect for their husbands, plain and simple. And anytime you have organization that is functional, you must have some sort of chain of authority. And that's just biblical. In the family, it is God's will that the husband be the head of the wife and that parents be over their children. Parents be over their children. Now, it's very clear that God says clearly that, notice how I wadded that up and throwed it away. So as we continue with the duties of the wife, here's an opportunity. And what this is all about, the wife has an opportunity here to demonstrate the wisdom and value of an important principle in God's will, and that is simply submission. And like I said, submission doesn't mean that your husband treats you like a slave. And it doesn't mean that you have to subject yourself to him at his every whimping cry, plain and simple. You don't do that. Men, dress yourselves. You know, every now and then my wife will pick out my tie or she'll pick out my suit. She keeps that out for me because I'm not good at it. And she's better at it than I am. And I respect her for that. And I honor her for that. But it says clearly that God's wisdom and God's will is that wives be in subjection or in submission to their husband. And like I said, that doesn't mean you're a slave, ladies. Don't let them treat you like a slave. If they do, tell me. Jesus taught by both word and example of the importance of submission. Think about the submission that Jesus was in. In John chapter 13, verses 12 through 17, it says, "So after he had washed their feet," this is subjection. Think about this, the submission of Jesus. "After he had washed their feet," Jesus, God in the flesh, washed the feet of the disciples. I don't know about the rest of you, but to me, that's just disgusting. I'm not a foot person. I'd have an awful time washing people's feet. It's hard for me to even imagine that. But it says, "And had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am." He said, in other words, I am your Lord and I am your Master. And he could say that. He's God. But I've never looked at my wife and said, I'm your Lord and I'm your Master. I don't compare myself to God in our relationship, plain and simple, because that's not right. Because he goes on, he says, "Ye call me that." And then in verse 14 of John 13, he says, "If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet." That's submission, folks. When God, in the flesh, got down on his knees before his disciples and wash their feet. Men, that's the way you ought to treat your wives. If my wife's feet's dirty, I'll wash her feet, but I have trouble with anybody else's out there. I ain't gonna do it. I ain't gonna do it. It says, "For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done." Gentlemen, we've got a responsibility to set the example for our wives to follow. If you want your wife to respect you, then be the husband that you're supposed to be. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord." What's he saying there? The husband's not greater than the wife. God took the rib from the side of Adam to create a woman. That means she's by my side. And which rib did he take? It was on the right side. She's on my right side. She's my right-hand person. She's my right arm. When I lose her, I don't know what I would do. I know what my dad did. And I pray, God, I don't do what my dad did. He shot himself when my mom died, but it didn't kill him. God said, "You're not dead yet." He had to live on, but it about killed him. 4 years later, he died of a broken heart. And I don't know what I'd do if I lost my wife. I know some of you widows out there who've lost your husbands. Boy, my heart goes out to you. I don't know what you're feeling. Quite frankly, I don't want to know it. It scares me to think I could lose the woman that God put in my life. But he goes on, he says, and whosoever of you will, I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong place. For I have given an example unto you. And Jesus said, I set the example for you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. In other words, you're supposed to treat your wife, gentlemen, the way Jesus treated his disciples. And he was willing to give his life for you. And then down in Matthew chapter 10, verses 42 and 45, it says, but Jesus called them to him and saith unto them, ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. In other words, the Gentile people at this time were using those in authority. They were exercising great authority over those who were under them. But he goes on in verse 43 of Matthew chapter 10. He says, but so shall it not be among you. It's not going to be that way among you, folks. That's what he's saying. He says, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. Gentlemen, if you're going to be the leader of your home, you got to minister to your wife. You got to be to her the leader that she needs to have. Even so, the Son of Man came not to minister unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. You got to be willing to lay down your life for your family, folks. And gentlemen, if I can get this thing to turn here. We all are in subject to one another in one way or another. Gentlemen, we have a responsibility as husbands to be in subjection to our wives as well, to love them, to honor them, to cherish them, to care for them. And it says in James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. When we are learned to be submissive by following the examples of our wives, men, knowing that our wives respect us and we in return respect them, then we're doing exactly what God wants us to do. And when we are that way, we're resisting the devil. And by resisting the devil, sometimes it brings peace in the lives of families. And there's a lot of lack of rest in families in today's world. Every time you turn around, somebody's getting divorced. People don't stay together anymore because they don't want to work out nothing. They just want to run away from it. Don't run away from it. Keep it together. And in Ephesians 5:21, it says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God, knowing that God is the one who's in control anyway. But through their submission, wives proves that God's will is the best way to go, just by them respecting their husbands. It's not a hard thing to do. I've said it before and I'll say it again. If the Bible says do it, do it. If the Bible says don't do it, then don't do it. It's pretty simple. Now, that's all I had on the ladies. That's the wives. Now, gentlemen, husbands. And we need more husbands in our church. We're outnumbered, guys. We got to fix this. We're outnumbered. They are to love their wives in verses 25 through 30. Notice there's more verses on the husband than there are on the wives because our responsibility is much greater as a husband. We've got a huge responsibility. They are to love their wives. It says so very clearly in verse 25. Husbands, love your wives. How? Even as Christ also loved the church. And what did he do? He gave himself for it. That's why when we hear something at home and my wife will wake me up and say, I hear something outside. Okay, stay in bed. She won't do it. She tries to. Every now and then I'll turn around and there she comes. But, you know, we got cameras all around our house. I go look at the cameras first and I do what I've got to do. But I don't want something to happen to her. I want it to happen to me first. I want her to be protected, to be taken care of. That's my responsibility. That's my goal in life. Like I promised her dad, I would take care of her until the day that I die. Or God forbid, he take her first. I want to get to heaven before she does so I can sweep the floor before she gets up there. I want to make sure that the place looks good before she gets there. But we're to love our wives, gentlemen, just as Christ loved the church, with the sacrificial love designed and to bless and benefit their wives. Folks, gentlemen, if you worked your whole life to provide for your wife, then you did the right thing. I worked my whole life to take care of my wife and make sure she had what she needed. We didn't always get what we wanted in life, but that's okay. The Bible doesn't say that I need to provide all of her wants, just her needs. Make sure those needs are met. We've got a responsibility to do that. Just as they love their own bodies. Think about that. Men, we take care of ourselves. Think about it. You get up, you clean, you take a shower, you clean yourself up. You've got the same responsibility to make sure that your wife is taken care of just as you take care of your own body. And it goes on, it says very distinctly in that verse where it says that husbands love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church. You know, the Jewish people years ago, their wives came first in everything. And a lot of places, part of what they did to respect their wives and to honor their wives, when they went somewhere, the wife was out in front of the husband. The husband walked behind the wife. Why? Because he was proud of that woman. He wanted the world to say, there's my wife. That's my wife. When my wife and I go somewhere, I don't leave her behind. Well, I do because I walk too fast. But she'll say, you're walking fast again, and I got to slow down. And I slow down, and I wait on my wife to catch up with me. And sometimes, here's what I do, my dad taught me this years ago. If we're going somewhere, and we're walking together somewhere, and traffic's coming up on the right side of us, and she happens to be on the right, I push her to my left. Gentlemen, that's what you do. If a car is going to hit somebody, it needs to hit you, not your wife. Don't let the car run over your wife. Let it run over you. When there's danger, you are the one that's supposed to face it. If the car comes down on the left, I push my wife over to the right. And I know it frustrates her sometimes because I got her moving back and forth all the time. I'm like, over here, no, no, over here, no, no, over here. So, I mean, it's kind of like we're dancing as we're going into Walmart or something because people go down the wrong aisle anyway. But anyway, we have a responsibility to love our wives as we do our own bodies and to make sure that they have everything that they need with a love that nourishes and cherishes the wife. And that's what we've got a responsibility to do. Continuing with the husbands, we only had like one and a half slides on the ladies, but just as the wives have the opportunity to demonstrate God's wisdom concerning submission, so the husband has got the same responsibility they have the opportunity to prove or demonstrate Christ's love in the way that we love our wives. That's why Paul did this, because it's a responsibility for the husbands and the wives and the children. When we get to that point, we'll talk a little bit about the children as well, because they got a responsibility as well. As Christ is head of the church, Jesus rules as the benevolent monarch. In other words, that doesn't mean that we have to rule over our wives to the point, gentlemen, that we're the king. We're not a king. There's only one king, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know a lot of wives put as much into the family as the husbands do. Plain and simple. I could not have raised two boys without my wife. Plain and simple. I was always going anyway. I was always on the road working somewhere. She took care of the home. She took care of the boys. She did everything she could to make sure that the house was kept up. She was a great wife. She was a biblical wife. I believe that with all my heart. But just she was always just did the right thing. She took after her mother. She had a great mom. My mother-in-law, a lot of men, they just don't like their mother-in-laws. I loved my mother-in-law to death. She took good care of me. I mean, she would talk to me on a Sunday or something. We kind of went to church for her for years. And every now and then she'd say, Roy, you got to go out of town tomorrow? I think she got excited when I went out of town because she wanted to tell Roy's traveling again for work. She was proud of that fact. I'd say, yeah, I got to go to Tennessee. You got to go to Florida this week? Or you got to go to Atlanta? No. Oh, I thought you had to go out of town. It's kind of like she wanted my wife's time. I knew what she was doing. She was trying to steal my time from my wife. But just as the wife has the opportunity to demonstrate that, gentlemen, we've got to demonstrate our love for our wives. But when a husband exercises his authority as head of the family, I'm going to quit using this thing if it keeps it up. Some think such a concept of as benevolent monarchy is impossible. As per the saying, power corrupts absolute, power is corrupt, corrupts absolutely. But one of the things we've got to understand, gentlemen, we're not put in the position of a husband to exercise power over our wives. No way, shape, or form. That's not what God wants. But these are some of the duties of the husband. Walking together in godly wisdom is what Paul calls this. And we've got a responsibility to do that. But we've got huge responsibilities in the marital bliss that God has ordained. But just as wives have that same opportunity, I think I'm going in circles here. This thing's not working right. Anyway, don't pay attention to that. As we go on, I want to talk about the duties of the children now. So husbands, you understand what you're supposed to do. Ladies, you understand what God says, what God tells you to do, plain and simple. But now let's talk about the children. Devil's working tonight. Okay. The family responsibilities. The duty of the children is found in verses chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. It says, children are to obey their parents in a way that honors them, honors the parents. So children, and even after you leave home, folks, you still had a responsibility to honor your mom and dad. And we always tried to do that. My wife took care of her mother for 17 years after we were married. She spent 17 years taking care of her mother. And my mom and dad, my mom was never a widow. My mother-in-law was a widow at the age of 60, I believe it was. And she was a widow for 30-plus years. And my wife felt a responsibility to take care of her mom. And you know, in the Bible it says that a man is to leave his mother and father and cling to his wife. It doesn't say that the wife leaves the parents. It says that the husband leaves his mother and father. Doesn't say anything about the wife doing that. It just says the husband does that. So it goes back to that old saying. I forget how it goes. A daughter is a daughter for the rest of her life or whatever. I forget how it goes. But a son is a son until he takes him a wife. Something like that. And that's true. It's true. It's the truth. As soon as I got married, folks, I mean, I clung to my wife. I longed in my life to be a husband, to be a father, and that's what I was. But I had certain things that I had to live up to as well. But it's not that I ignored my parents. I was still obedient to my parents. I tell you, my mom and dad, we went to visit my parents every week after we first got married for many years. And then even after my mother passed away, I tried to stay in touch with my dad. But he didn't want anything to do with any of his kids after my mom died. He just wanted to die himself. And that was a heartbreaker. But children, honor your parents. There are certainly temporal benefits in being obedient to your parents. Those of you who have parents still alive, there's a responsibility there. And God will bless you for that. If you want to live long on this earth, you know, that's one of the commandments. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon this earth. God will give you a long life sometimes. He'll give you a long life if you just take care of your parents. Even as they get older in life, they need somebody to take care of them. There's nothing wrong with that. There's certainly temporal benefits in being obedient. But there are also spiritual repercussions if you don't do the things that God wants us to do. And that's not just for the children. Colossians 3:20 says, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. And by their example, children can show the value of obedience as well, by following God's commands and being obedient to their children, plain and simple. And it's not a hard thing to do. Just do what mom and dad says. Do what mom and dad says. And if you don't have a dad, do what your mom says. If you have both, listen to mom and dad both. Because they do what they do because they love their children. And anybody that would abuse or beat their child, you know, the Bible's clear, to spare the rod and to spoil is to spoil the child, plain and simple. My boys got whippings. They didn't get beatings. I never beat my kids, never laid a hand on them except they needed it. And my dad never really beat me. Well, there's a few times I felt like a beating, but he gave it to me because I needed it. But at the same time, I respected my dad for that. But we discipline a child, folks, out of love. And it talks about the fathers. Doesn't say anything about the mothers here in this part of the scripture. It says, it goes down and it says, after we're talking about the wives and the husband, it gets down to verse 6 of chapter, in Ephesians chapter 6, it says verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, honor thy father and thy mother. And it goes on, it says, and it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And that's one of the commandments. That's one of the commandments in the Bible. And verse 4, it says, and ye fathers, this verse here, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Men have a bad habit of teasing their children. And sometimes they get mad. My dad never teased me. My dad was a very sober man. He never hardly, matter of fact, when we sat down to dinner, It was a different world because you weren't allowed to talk at the dinner table at my house. And when I went out to my wife's house for the first time, I went out there one Sunday. We weren't allowed to date. We were allowed to go to each other's house on Sundays. We weren't allowed to date because she was too young. But I went out to her house one day for dinner, and I saw the way a family should probably be because I didn't have that in my home. My dad worked in the coal mines. He worked hard all day, crawled around on his knees. He'd come home from work. He didn't want to talk. He didn't want nobody talking to him. And he would just sit down at the table. We'd eat. He'd get up and he'd go in his office and he'd pray and he'd read his Bible. But when I went to her house for the first time, I was amazed. Her dad came in, sat down. The whole family started talking. It was like a big chatterbox. And I'm just sitting there, and they sat me back against the wall, and I just kind of sat back up against the wall. I said, I want to take this in. I want to absorb it. Her mom and dad knew how to have a proper family. That's what they did. That was their time together as a family, was around the table. It had to be food. They were Baptist, and they had a lot of food. And I'm telling you, when her mom cooked a meal, she cooked a meal. And I remember that one of the first times I was there, they had roast beef. And I didn't have too much roast beef growing up. We had chicken once in a while. But we only had meat once a week, and that was on Sundays in my house. We had mostly potatoes, fried potatoes. My dad had fried potatoes with onions in them, and they had to be burnt. He wouldn't eat them. I mean, that was my dad. God bless him. When I went to her house, they had this huge feast. And I thought, I've never seen nothing like this, unless I went to my grandparents' house. But I was just amazed. And another time I went, her dad loved fried chicken. I mean, he loved fried chicken. And we went there to eat one day, and they got all this big plate of fried chicken in the middle of the table. I took a little piece of chicken, a little potatoes, put it on my plate, and her dad, he just starts wolfing down the chicken. He wasn't shy. Fork, boom, fork, boom, fork, boom. And he got down to the last piece of chicken, and after he'd already licked off that fork, he stuck it in that last piece of chicken and said, "Roy, you didn't want that, did you?" "Oh, not now, not now." But I had a blast with her family. I did. That's the kind of families that we need in our churches, folks. We need to bring some families in. Wives who are respecting their husbands. Husbands who love their wives. Children who are obedient to their parents. I'm afraid those days are gone. But they don't have to be. If we live up to what the Word of God teaches, we can get that back. It's all a matter about every one of us, husbands, wives, children, doing our part, walking worthy of the vocation that we're in, because God put us in the positions we're in for a reason. Plain and simple. God ordained the family, folks, before He did the church. My family comes before anything in my life. If my boys would ever call me right now and say, "Dad, we need you," I'm gone. I'm going to go help them. I'm going to do what I got to do. If I'm anywhere doing anything else and my wife needs me, you ask her. I was up in Cincinnati or Cleveland or Columbus or somewhere a while back when I was doing a lot of traveling. And she called me one night. I'd just gotten to a motel room, and she called me probably about 8 o'clock or something, 8 or 9. She wasn't feeling good. I said, "I'm coming home." I drove home that night, and I got home late, but that was okay. You know why? Because I loved my wife more than I did that job. I always did. Folks, learn to love your family. Love your family. Your family's important. We need more families that are families. And when the world sees the love in a family, then we're doing our part to set the proper example. So set the proper example. And that's why Paul put this in here. Because it's just walking in wisdom, God's wisdom. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we pray, Lord, that you would just allow it to resonate in our hearts throughout this week, Father, that each one of us, whether a wife, a husband, a child, that we would do our part, Father, and show the love to one another and the respect to one another that each other deserves. But Father, may we do it and be a lighthouse to those who look upon us in our families. May we follow after the Lord Jesus Christ in everything that we do. Father, forgive us if we've not lived up to the commands of your word in the prospective positions that you've placed us in. Speak to our hearts as we continue. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.